Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deese Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster, and today is Registered Dietitian Day, and the month of March is National Nutrition Month. So we'll be hearing from our dietitian, Christy Zweifel. Before we do, as always, I have a few announcements I would like to share with our listeners. One, we want to welcome Jess Krukenberg. She is a family practice nurse practitioner who has joined Van Deese Family Health Clinic this past month. She is seeing new patients of all ages. You can call the clinic at 515-832-7800 to schedule an appointment today. And as mentioned, we have a couple new providers who have joined and will be joining our behavioral health services team. We have welcomed Mary Claire Wunderlich, who is a board-certified mental health nurse practitioner, to complement our team of behavioral health specialists at Van Deese Medical Center. She is seeing patients full-time. She will assess, diagnose, manage medications, treat and provide therapy to patients with a variety of mental health conditions. She is offering both in-person and virtual appointments. You can also call Van Deese Family Health Clinic at 515-832-7800 to schedule an appointment. And then I have mentioned previously, we have a new mental health counselor who will be joining us at the end of the month, Samantha Snowville. Will be joining our behavioral health team. She has over 10 years of therapy experience, brings a full range of psychotherapy services to our clinic. She too will join us full time as of March 24th, and she too will also offer both in-person and virtual appointments. And once she gets started, you may also call the clinic at 515-832-7800 to schedule an appointment. The next Webster City Community Blood Drive is scheduled for tomorrow, Thursday, March 13th. It will be from 12:30 to 5:30 in the clinic boardroom at Van Deese Medical Center. The easiest way to make appointments can be done by going online at lifeservebloodcenter.org. We want to thank the Auxiliary for organizing and hosting the community blood drives. We also extend a huge thank you to Scooters in Webster City for serving as our corporate sponsor and donating their delicious cookies every month. We have a terrific opportunity for scholarships that is going on right now, so I will be mentioning this up into the deadline. Our Van Deese Medical Center Auxiliary is offering six $1,000 scholarships to those graduates who wish to pursue a career in the medical field. So possibly a high school graduate or a previous graduate who is looking to further their education in the medical field would be considered. You need to be a resident of Hamilton County or a graduate of any of the high schools in Hamilton County. The application can be found online. If you go to our website, vandeestmc.org, you can find it there. The deadline for the application is April 15th of this year. And the healthcare field is in need of so many people in different positions to join the industry. So we're hoping with the increase in scholarships that the Auxiliary is offering that we get some candidates that are interested in going into healthcare. We definitely need it. So again, terrific opportunity for our graduates. Six $1,000 scholarships will be offered. Again, the application can be found on our website, and the deadline is April 15th of this year. And then lastly, I do want to give a plug. Last week, we did have Dr. Tim Mayfield, one of our general surgeons, on the program with us. And March is also Colorectal Cancer Awareness Month. If you are 45 years or older it's time that you have a colon cancer screening done. And colonoscopy is the gold standard screening test. We do those at Van Deest Medical Center. You can call the surgery department at 515-832-7746 to schedule your screening today. And I think we're ready to get started into our program. As I mentioned, March is National Nutrition Month. It's a great time to talk with our dietitian, Christy Zweifel. She's here to tell us about this year's theme and how food connects us to our health. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning. Yes. So each year during March, we celebrate National Nutrition Month, which is a campaign sponsored by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. It invites everyone to learn more about making informed food choices and developing sound eating and physical activity habits. This tradition has been recognized for over 50 years. The theme this year is Food Connects Us. So food is a connecting factor for many of us. Food connects us to our culture, our families, our friends. Sharing a meal is an opportunity to learn about how it's prepared, who made it, where the ingredients were sourced. Many factors influence our relationship with food, including memories, traditions, seasons, and access to food. While these factors influence the foods we eat also affect our health. The good news is we're never too young or too old to form healthier eating habits. Diet and nutrition are deeply intertwined with our health. Diet plays a role in about 80 to 85% of chronic diseases, which is a large number. What we eat can positively impact our health. Building healthy habits can support long-term wellness. In fact, there are a lot of research linking a healthy eating pattern, which consists of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, lean protein foods, and dairy, or fortified plant-based versions, while also limiting saturated fat, sodium, and added sugar, with a reduced risk of diet-related chronic diseases such as heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and some type of cancers. Food also connects us to our family and friends. Think about all the occasions that involve food, whether it's celebrating a holiday or another special event such as a birthday, or simply enjoying a meal together on the weekend. There may be additional benefits to sharing meals. For example, some research has shown that more frequent meals shared by families with adolescents helps to improve their intake of fruits and/or vegetables and sources of calcium. Another way food connects us is through each stage of life by providing nutrients we need from birth to advanced age. For example, consuming enough calcium from a young age helps reduce the risk of osteoporosis or weak bones as we age. We can continue to build the connections across all stages of life by learning how nutrient needs may change with age. Including healthy foods from all food groups and focusing on balanced and sustainable eating habits will help to form this connection during the life cycle. Some changes can be difficult, so it's easy to start with just one or two changes in your eating habits at a time. For example, if your goal is to eat more fruits, include berries with your breakfast or an apple for a snack a few times a week may be easier than increasing your intake every day to start out. It's important to have realistic goals. Another way to connect with food is preparing your own meals and snacks and learning about how the ingredients are grown and raised. Your ability to access food is also essential. Many people have a specific amount of money they're able to spend on food, which makes planning important when trying to eat more healthy. With grocery prices going up, it makes it extra important. Some tips to connect in connecting with purchasing food. One would be purchasing food at the store with a grocery list and paying attention to sales. When food is less processed, it's also more affordable and obviously more healthy. Learn about resources in your community that offer access to healthy foods, such as the SNAP program or Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or the WIC program, Women, Infant, and Children, or the Food Bank. In the summer, maybe visit a farmer's market to ask about how food is grown or raised, or consider starting a home or community garden to get hands-on experience with the growing process. Whether you have a health condition that requires you to eat a certain way, or you just want to make changes on how you eat, preparing your meals makes it easier to control the ingredients and their amounts. It's also a chance for children and teenagers to interact with food when they eat and build healthier eating habits for life. Making small, sustainable changes in your diet can have a big impact on your physical and mental health. And with National Nutrition Month in full swing, now is a great time to start. So there's lots of little changes that we can make. One would be maybe starting to experiment with different foods. Like when you're baking, instead of using oil or eggs, maybe use bananas or applesauce. Have you ever done that before?
I have used applesauce before, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, especially now with egg prices so high, sometimes it's kind of nice to substitute something and it's actually a little bit healthier.
Yes.
So maybe give that a try. You have to experiment a little bit. It doesn't always give the exact texture, but usually you can substitute a half a cup of oil for a half a cup of applesauce. And the product still turns out pretty good.
So see, that's a good rule of thumb for people to go by. I think what's helpful when people make things is they maybe don't think of those options, but I think more and more there are recipes that give those tips of
yes.
like those healthy substitutions that can be made and how much is appropriate. And so it's
yes.
kind of easy mm-hmm. To follow a recipe and make it more healthy.
Exactly. Especially like you said, on Pinterest and online, you can find healthier recipes that include those things.
Right.
Also, maybe you like chicken strips. So maybe buy in a different brand of chicken strips, ones that are lightly breaded. There's a brand named Bear Lightly Breaded Chicken Strips and another one called Real Good. And I just have less of the breading, less fat, less carbohydrates in them. And maybe preparing it a little bit different. Instead of deep fat frying things, maybe throwing it in the air fryer.
Do you have an air fryer?
I do.
And
yes.
Do you use it?
I do use it, and I love it. I put salmon in my air fryer, and that turns out really good. I actually like it better in my air fryer than I do on the grill.
mm-hmm.
So just experimenting with different methods of cooking, too, helps.
Yeah. I think they're really handy. I know my daughter has one, and she uses it to reheat things. Mm-hmm. And she, too, there are things that she would even possibly put in the oven or microwave, and she prefers them.
Yes.
In her air fryer. Yes.
Sometimes they're a little crispier.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that's good. Try different recipes, like we kind of already talked about. There's one called a high protein blueberry pancake recipe that uses that Kodiak pancake mix. I don't know if you've seen that before, but it has more protein
mm-hmm.
in it, more whole grains. So I use a half a cup of that, and I add a half a cup of almond milk. Mix that up together real good, pour it in a microwavable safe bowl, and then I add blueberries to it, and there really isn't a certain amount, but I'd say I probably put about a half a cup in there. So stir that up, put it in the microwave for about 2.5 minutes, and it's really good. And it's about 15 grams of protein, and it has fiber in it, and obviously a lot of antioxidants from the blueberries. So that's a quick and easy breakfast idea that you can try.
That is really good that you mentioned that. And it's funny that you, that particular brand, because I have recently seen a recipe for blueberry muffins that mm-hmm. are a high protein blueberry muffin that uses that Kodiak brand too. And I've wanted to try them.
Yes. And there's actually lots of different flavors of that mix too. I've gotten the chocolate. I've made chocolate muffins before with it. I've gotten the cinnamon sugar. Actually, I bought little pans that you can make healthy donuts with them. So it's kind of fun to try different recipes with those Kodiak mixes.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, it's so good to know. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Great tip.
Yeah. I mentioned the almond milk. There are good and bad things about using almond milk, and it kind of depends what your goals are. If you are trying to cut back on calories or carbohydrates, almond milk does have less of those. It is fortified with a little bit extra calcium, but protein, it's a little lower. It's only has 1 gram for a cup of almond milk, whereas there's about 8 to 13 grams in regular milk. So big difference there. So it kind of depends what your goals are. But if you're getting the protein from other things like that Kodiak mix, then it's all right. And then, you know, if you're not allergic to milk, you know, cow's milk is perfectly fine to use. But if you are looking to cut back on some of your carbs and calories, almond milk's a good choice too.
Very good. So we talked a little bit about almond milk, Christy. Mm-hmm. How about oat milk? Are there benefits to oat milk?
Absolutely. And especially, it seems like it depends what your taste preference is and what you tolerate. But yeah, looking at those labels and seeing exactly how much protein is in that milk, how much calcium, because it's not going to probably be identical to the cow's milk. But nothing is really off limits. If that works for you and that's what you tolerate, that's perfectly fine to do oatmeal. We talked about cashew milk, coconut milk, all those. There's lots of different types of milk. So you just have to kind of do what your family likes and tolerates and just check out that label.
Very good.
Another thing is sugar. You know, sugar is now linked to so many different things like heart health and cancers and obviously obesity. So if you're trying to cut back on some of the sugar in your diet, maybe try and new products like the Lily's chocolate style baking chips. I've tried those at home and those are actually very good. They use like a sugar alcohol and sugar substitute instead of the regular sugar. So there's no sugar in it. Because, you know, we're only supposed to have about 24 grams of added sugar for women and 36 for men. That adds up really, really fast. So that is one way we can kind of cut back on some of that added sugar is using a substitute like those Lily chocolate chips. Have you ever used those?
I have not. No? I have probably seen this brand.
Yes.
But I've not tried them. Do they taste?
Yes, they taste
like
good.
Chocolate?
Absolutely. Especially if you need a chocolate fix, that's a good go-to if you're trying to cut back on added sugar.
Well, a little confession here. When I do need that chocolate fix, I quite often will go to chocolate chips.
Yes.
Just to have, I mean, it, even like 3 or 4 can
that
do it
helps.
For me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I do that with those Dove bite-sized candies. You know, just one of those after lunch that kind of satisfies me instead of going to the vending machine and getting the candy bar. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, yeah, it's all about portion control, just having a small amount of that thing that you really crave instead of having a larger portion that's not so good for our health.
Right. So. And like you mentioned, those added sugars really do add up.
Definitely.
I mean, I would encourage people as they're doing their grocery shopping to look at that.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know people may be looking at calories, looking at protein, but you really have to look at that added sugar.
Yes.
I am kind of a granola junkie, but there's a big difference in granolas too of how much sugar can be added to those. So you really do have to look at labels.
Right, right. Even Cheerios, it's known as a healthy cereal.
Mm-hmm.
By getting the Honey Nut Cheerios, which is a little bit sweeter, you're already looking at about 12 grams of added sugar with that Honey Nut Cheerios for a serving of that. So going back to the old standby, regular Cheerios is better for your health. And if you do need that sweet taste, just adding some artificial sugar to it, you know, whether it's Splenda or Stevia or whatever artificial sugar that you'd like or have at home.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have just recently seen, I have not bought them, but now they're making Cheerios with protein too.
Oh, yes.
I have not tried them yet. Have you tried them?
I have not. No. Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Yeah. Wondered how those were.
Yeah. So another way of getting more protein in our diet. Yes. Yep. Lots of different ways, that's for sure. Also using the non-fat Greek yogurt instead of sour cream, because that's what it tastes like, isn't it? So I do that when I have like a taco night. I will mix a non-fat Greek yogurt with maybe a little bit of salsa, and that's kind of my dressing that I put like on a salad, or if I do have some chips, I'll dip it in that, you know. So I'm getting something good from the yogurt, because that is a good source of calcium and protein and probiotics. Sour cream, yes, it has a little bit of calcium in it, but a lot of fat. Mm-hmm. So that's one way of cutting back on some of that fat.
Yeah, that's a great tip. And that's another area too, to really look at those labels. Because like you say, there's some great calcium and protein you can get from your yogurt, but there is a difference too. You got to be looking at those added sugars.
Absolutely. And there's so much to pick from now. Mm-hmm. My goodness, it takes up a huge amount of space in the refrigerator aisle. So it is kind of confusing. So you're right. You do have to really look at those labels because it can be deceiving what you're getting. Another tip is just to try to eat fish twice a week because we want to have more omega-3 fatty acids, and fish is lean. So that is maybe one simple goal. So we don't obviously expect everybody to be perfect with their diet. You know, we all have different goals in mind and different things that we're kind of looking at. So like I said before, just maybe picking one or two things to work on during the week and see how you do. And then if you get things kind of embedded into your food pattern, then work on something else. But if we try to do everything perfect all at once, it doesn't usually work because then you're like, oh, let's go to McDonald's, you know? So we have to be careful. We don't want to go overboard. And by the way, there is healthy things at McDonald's to to get, of course, too. So, and then 5 a day, trying to shoot for more fruits and vegetables. So that's always a good goal. You know, we're the new super word now is a plant-forward diet. You know, we have vegan and vegetarian and flexitarian and all those words, all those terms. But it's a little bit easier to just say plant-forward. We're trying to eat more plants, more fruits and vegetables, and more plant-based proteins and healthier fats, you know, to improve our diet. So I know the healthiest state incentive, they have a little idea of how to try to have more fruits and vegetables, and they have these little bands that you can wear on your wrist. There's five
of them. As a little reminder.
But you could do this with anything, charms or whatever. But they put it on the wrist, and then every time they eat a fruit or a vegetable, they put it on the other arm, you know, so you make sure and get your 5 a day in. So I thought that was kind of a little cute reminder. So
that is a cute idea.
Yeah.
And again, I think it is to your point of taking those small steps. You know, you're hearing this, hearing some ideas, but there are small things you can incorporate, you know, into your diet. Maybe you start at the, you know, with the weekend, at the beginning of the week, and kind of plan out.
Yeah.
And if you're not a person that eats a lot of fruits and vegetables, you know, start buying maybe some fresh fruit, and you're taking a little bit to work each day, or making sure you get that, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, whenever it is, just incorporating that into your diet.
Yeah.
And I think when you're buying, I've kind of noticed too with me with fresh fruits and vegetables, I just don't like to waste food. So I really plan ahead on what does the week look like? What do I have going on? And you know, use up what I have and not overbuy because I don't want anything to go to waste.
Yeah, absolutely. Like we said, everybody has a certain amount that we need to spend on groceries. So it's real easy to waste that money, waste that food if we don't actually eat it. So it is really important to, like you said, plan ahead of time and start slow. Because, you know, when we go to the grocery store, all those things look delicious. So it's really easy to load up the grocery cart. But it's also a good idea to, you know, be sensible about how much am I really going to eat, or how much is the family really going to eat this week. We don't want to throw that food away. So
Right. Great information, Christy. Anything else you'd like to share with listeners today?
Well, you know, one of the chronic illnesses that we're trying to prevent or delay is type 2 diabetes, and we do offer classes here at the hospital to help manage that disease or prevent that disease. And we have diabetic education classes. You just have to get a referral from your provider. The classes are usually 4 sessions, and we tailor it to the person and their needs. Also, gestational diabetes, if a woman has that during their pregnancy, we can see that person too and talk about how to count carbohydrate choices and, you know, give them some tips on how to improve their diets to manage their blood sugar levels a little bit better. So there's definitely some resources here at the hospital for that. The nice thing is Medicare covers those classes. So
it's a great opportunity.
It sure is. A lot of people don't take advantage of that. But yes, regular Medicare does cover those classes. Typically when they're diabetic and they're first diagnosed, they get 10 hours of education in a year. And then every year after that, they get 2 more hours. So let's say later down the road, their blood sugar levels start going up a little bit. They can come back in and we can kind of revisit how they're eating or what kind of medications that they're on, and then make some recommendations from there.
Great information. Christy, for those who are interested in the diabetic education program, you mentioned a referral from their primary care provider is needed. If they have questions about the program, where can we direct them to call?
Yes, you could call Amy McCullough, and her number is 515-832-7730.
Perfect. And you and Amy make up the team?
Yes. Amy is a registered nurse, and I'm a registered dietitian, and we teach the classes together.
Wonderful. Great information to share.
Good.
Christy, thank you for being on the show. You are always just a wealth of information, provide helpful tips for our listeners, and it's always a great time to have you on during the month of March. Happy Registered Dietitian Day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thanks for all you do. That will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Diest Medical Center, where our focus is you.